Today's sermon title is Why Israel? Why Israel? Instead, it says in Matthew 20:24 that even the very elect could be deceived. And you know, and I get concerned for our young people because it just seems like that there is a revival that is taking place in the young people, whether it be at the collegiate level or well, all these other different areas that we're seeing, that there are so many young people that are being baptized or so many people that are coming to the Lord. But I also am very concerned about the spiritual leadership that some people are submitting their lives to or what they're listening to. You know, we listen to Instagram and podcasts and YouTube and Twitter and all these different things, and a lot of times that's where they're getting their information from. And I know that with working with Staten, that we are now, we've been on YouTube, we're now on Instagram. I know nothing about it. Staten knows all the information about that. But I know that the most watched things are things that are very, very short. That if it's something that is very, very short on YouTube, they'll tune into it. But if it's not, they don't have time to watch that. And I'm afraid, I have a fear for some of our young people, for the leadership and the spiritual wisdom that they are tuning into, that they are going to get the right direction in their life. So the question is today, with the nation of Israel, is why Israel? And we're going to debunk some false things that are put out there, some false things that are being taught in the world in which we live in today. So first of all, I want you to turn with me. There's a lot of scripture today, so hang on tight and make sure that you're looking at the overheads if you don't have your Bible in front of you. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. We're going to read verse 13 through 17. And this is what it says. In Exodus 3, verse 13, it says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God your fathers, of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey.'" All those nations that he identified and he spoke. We won't go there, but in Joshua chapter 12, we see a list of 31 kings that were defeated by the nation of Israel. Where are these nations today? They're all gone. Every one of them is gone. Only remembered in the annals of history. But who is still standing today? The nation of Israel. A nation the size of New Jersey. There is only one nation that stands today that I know without a shadow of a doubt will be standing when the Lord Jesus returns. There will be only one nation and one city, and that nation is Israel, and that city is Jerusalem. Amen. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, and you know Zechariah is one of the minor prophets, not minor in teaching or truth, but because he's a little smaller. But if you go back, it's almost before you get to the New Testament, Zechariah chapter 14, and listen to what it says, Zechariah 14 verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. And the city will be taken, and the house rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity. But the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, and he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. And half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it toward the south. Listen, saints, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, cannot happen without the nation of Israel. And it cannot happen without the city of Jerusalem being right where they are at today. At Christ's coming, he will stand at the Mount of Olives and as Lord of Lords and as King of Kings. Israel is not going anywhere. It is front page news that we see in the world today, all these nations that hate Israel. The anti-Semitism that is in the United States is growing and growing, and it's growing worldwide, where all the countries are facing Israel. All countries are coming against Israel. All because, for the nation of Israel, all because Satan hates the nation of Israel. Because of the covenant relationship that he has with them, that God has with the nation of Israel, but that covenant will never be destroyed. That covenant will never be quit. And you know what? What that tells us today, you can trust the covenant relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you were accepted him as Lord and Savior, you were born again, and someday you will walk on the streets of glory. Amen. That covenant will never be broke, because our God is faithful. Turn with me to Revelations chapter 19. Revelations in chapter 19. There's quite a bit of reading today, but it's very important. Very important if you've never heard it before. In Revelations chapter 19, it's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will start at verse 10 because I can find it. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus and worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, you and me, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Is there any doubt who that is? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 will come to pass. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't think for a moment that God has forgot the nation of Israel, because he has not forgot them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you go to verse 6, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. So Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you, because you were in number more than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep his oath, which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is a God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, and he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Verse 6 again, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Israel people were God's chosen people for two reasons. Number one, that through their nation the Savior would be born. And number two, that the nation of Israel would take the truth of the Savior to the world. Well, they were able to accomplish number one by the hand of God, that the Lord Jesus was born through the generations of the nation of Israel. A Savior, a Messiah, never recognized by the nation of Israel, and he's still, by and far, not recognized today. They are still waiting for their Savior to come. But during the tribulation period, the nation of Israel will return to God, and they will recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they missed the boat the first time around. 144,000 Jewish witnesses will be raised up as evangelists to the world that Christ is Lord. So we know that they are coming back full circle to the nation of Israel, that God is not done with the nation of Israel today. So let's debunk some teaching that floats around. It's almost like people get jealous of them being chosen by God and act as though I want to be the chosen people. Saints, you are chosen of God. And you're chosen to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't love them more than he loves you. They have a divine calling on their life, and you have a divine calling on your life. This church has a divine calling on its life to spread the gospel, to be a lighthouse, to take Marion County for the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 verse 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, you had a revelation of Jesus take place in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't come to him unless you're drawn to him. John 15 verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. John 10 and verse 16 says, we are those other sheep. We are the other sheep that have been grafted in. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 4, listen to the words, because this is what God is saying about you today. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace that you have been saved, and raised us up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 12. But at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You are a child of God. By grace you have been saved. We are the body of Christ. We are the church today of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the most beautiful church age that you could ever live in. We live during the time in the dispensation of grace. We live before the dawning of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you were born before 1948. You've seen Israel become a nation once again, and you're going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that today? We need to be living our life as if it can happen at any moment, because it can. Look at what's going on around the nation of Israel. Oh, when they say peace, 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 sudden destruction can fall. We say we're going to have peace in Israel. It's going to last forever, don't we? It's not going to last forever. We know what's going on, and we know what's going on because of the Bible. The time of the Gentile to take Christ to the world is right now. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we did not become Jewish. For a while there was people in the church that were changing their name when they accepted Jesus. Well, I've been grafted in. Now I've become a Jew. I'm become a Jewish person. So I'm going to change my name to a Jewish name. Brother and sister, you are the called of the Most High God. You don't have to change your name because you are a Gentile believer. We have a purpose and we have a mission, and God loves you just as much as He ever loved anyone in Israel, because of your faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we debunk the fallacy that the church replaces the Jewish people. And I've heard that shared before too. Well, because they failed, and now we have the church, that covenant is null and void. It's no longer standing today, and now it's all about the church, and it's no longer about Israel. Do you know what the adversary wants to do with that? He wants even the Christians to walk away from the Jewish people. He even wants the Christians to walk away from the nation of Israel. Praise God that this country still supports the nation of Israel. Much of our blessings that we enjoy today are because we support the nation of Israel. May this nation ever, never, ever walk away. There is a teaching out there that basically says that the Jewish people lost out and it's about us today, and that is wrong. Yes, we are the ones today to take the gospel to the world, but God is going to bring it full circle back to the nation of Israel. Satan is using this as a tool to isolate Israel even that much more, even from the Christian believer. Look at the last UN meeting. After the nation Israel got up to speak, most of all the nations got up and walked out. They didn't want anything to even be in the room. In 2018, at the ribbon cutting of the new American embassy in Jerusalem, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I knew I messed it up. This is what he said. In Jerusalem, Abraham passed the greatest test of faith and the right to be the father of our nation. In Jerusalem, King David established our capital 3,000 years ago. In Jerusalem, King Solomon built our temple, which stood for centuries. We are in Jerusalem today, and we are here to stay. He was quoting Zechariah 1:16 and 8:3. And 8:3 says this: Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So why Israel? This is what it comes back to you. Why Israel? Why doesn't God just forget them? They were disobedient. They didn't accept Jesus. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. So why is God not forgetting the nation of Israel? And it all comes back to the Abrahamic covenant. And we're going to go there. Turn with me to Genesis 12:1. I don't know why God always puts a longer sermon on my heart when I'm supposed to have communion, but He always does. You just have to bear with me, because we're not going to go anywhere until the Lord is done with us today. Genesis 12:1 says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you." Remember this. "I will bless those who bless you." That's why the nation of the United States needs to support the nation of Israel. "And I will curse him who curses you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham is our father of faith today because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I will bless those that bless you." Now, this covenant was ratified in Genesis chapter 15, and I want you to turn with me there. It hasn't been too long ago that we talked about this, but I want us to come back to it because I want us to make sure that all of our new families understand we as a church, we support the nation of Israel. We are Zionists in our belief. What does it mean when you're a Zionist? We believe at Crossroads Gospel Church that the promised land that was given to Israel, even though they only hold a portion of it today, that someday that promised land will be theirs because it still belongs to them. In this scripture, when you turn to Genesis 15, if you look at verse 9, now this gets a little confusing, but I'll try to clear it up. In verse 9 it says, "He said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And then he brought all these to him and he cut them in two right down the middle." Now, in the ancient of days, when two kings could come together and they were going to have a covenant relationship with each other, they would take the sacrificial animal. They would cut the animal in half, and half of the animal would lay over there, and half of the animal would lay over here. Then they, each one of them, as the kings, would walk between the two parted pieces. And this would be a binding covenant that would take place between them. But you're going to find something really interesting in the scripture here today. When you look at verse 11, "And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell over Abram. And behold, a horror and great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not complete. And it came to pass," now listen to the words, "and when it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, said," and then he told them the land that they were supposed to get. Now, the interesting thing here is, we said that the ancient times that the two kings would walk between the two parted pieces of the sacrifice, and this would be entering into a covenant relationship with one another together. But you see in the scripture that there was a sleep that was put upon Abram. He could not walk down between the two parts. So who walked down between the two parts that were separated? The Lord God Almighty walked down between the two parts. It was a covenant relationship that was not dependent on Abram. It was not dependent on the nation of Israel. It is a covenant relationship that is dependent on God alone. Amen. It can never be broken, and it will never be broken. This covenant would be to the people an everlasting covenant. The land is an everlasting promise. By faith, we are descendants today of Abraham because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was known as being the father, the father of faith. This covenant was and is unconditional. The Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments, you've heard of that, was a conditional covenant. If you do this, you will be blessed. If you don't do this, you will suffer the consequences. There is a teaching out there where people say, well, the people broke the covenant, so today there is no covenant. And that is a lie. Today, we at Crossroads believe the Abrahamic covenant is still in place and that it always will be. That we are Zionists, believing that the promised land belongs to the Jewish people and always will. Satan wants to break that covenant relationship because that way you would not trust the covenant relationship that you have today in the relationship that you have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always pray for the nation of Israel. America's blessings flow from our support to this nation. God forbid if America ever walks away from the nation of Israel in support. And nobody knows if that will ever happen. You and I live in a world that gets darker and darker every moment. We started a school this year. How long will we be able to have that school before they change it and take it away from us? In many countries, they have. But as long as there's breath in these people, in this church, we're going to keep it going, and we're going to keep praising God, and we're going to keep telling people about the love of the Lord Jesus, and that this is a place where they can come and find Him, and we're going to love them all the time that they are here. Amen? Amen. We do pray for the nation of Israel today. Let's just pray for them right now. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray for the nation of Israel. There are so many forces that are aimed at them. Father, the only reason that they are still alive, the only reason that they are still there today is because of You and because of that covenant relationship that You have with the nation of Israel. I know that so many in the nation of Israel do not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but many do, and we praise God for that. But we also know that during the time of the tribulation, 144,000 witnesses, 12 out of the 12 tribes of Israel, will raise up to witness about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be millions that will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we praise You for that today. Lord, You are taking everything full circle. We are the church, but there is still the nation of Israel, and Lord, Your hand is upon us, and I know that Your hand is upon them as well. Father, bless this nation, and may we always support the people of Israel. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.